Welcome to the scene. I'm your host, Andrea Kruska, and today I am joined by Abby Whedon, photographer and owner of Edison Hills Polymer Clay Jewelry. Great to have you on the show, Abby.
Thank you. I'm really happy to be here today.
How did you get started both with photography and jewelry making?
Well, I have had a lifelong interest in art, visual art, starting as like a little kid. And then photography came first. So I was actually 13 and kind of commandeered my mom's camera and did a bunch of flower pictures. And so I did a lot of photos of flowers and selective coloring and just kind of wandering the yard with my camera. And then I started photographing kids that I babysat, kids at church, and then started charging to do those pictures. So my business started when I was about 14, though, you know, it all became a real thing once I was 18 and was able to do it in college. So I started doing weddings and portraits, family, seniors, babies, all of that. Did that all the way through college. And then in college, I did the clay program at Tech. I did not graduate from it, but I did 15 hours of ceramics. Absolutely loved it. Then when I got out of school, I didn't have access to a clay studio anymore. So polymer clay was a really natural progression because I can do it in my home. So
awesome. I love that you kind of stole your mom's camera because I did the exact same thing with my dad's. Like, and I still have, like, I have a picture of him wearing his old Minolta. That's the one I learned on, and I love that because it makes it more personal.
Yeah.
So did you just kind of teach yourself photography?
Yeah, I did. A lot of YouTube, a lot of just messing around until it worked. In fact, I'm actually training my sister to work with me now. And so this past year, I've been working with her a lot and teaching her a lot. And she's gotten so good so fast. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm so jealous because it took me like 3 years to get this good because I was just trial and error, you know. And I was a teenager, so I was just like messing around. But I definitely learned by exposure. I just like jumped in and just started photographing literally everything. Anybody who knew me in high school knew that I had a camera attached to my hip the entire time. The entire time. Every day. In fact, one of the years I did a 365-day project where I completed like a photo every single day. So.
Oh, nice. Love that. It's funny that learning from YouTube, because so many people do that. But when I first started really learning photography, like I took a couple classes with the darkroom and everything early in college. We'll not talk about how long ago that was, but YouTube did not exist yet. So anything I had to try and learn was from like really old school forums on the internet that I wasn't finding out from teachers. And I'm like, this is hard. So now it's so much easier and it makes it more accessible. With the jewelry, I know you sell in several places around town. How's that going? Do you just, what about jewelry really made you want to do that?
Yeah. So I actually started making jewelry out of miscellaneous materials as a teenager, a lot of beadwork. And I'm also just an earring person, so I don't really wear a lot of other jewelry, but I have always just worn big statement earrings, and they've always been really appealing to me because they're out of the way, you know, like you don't have to, they don't like jingle on your wrists or anything.
Right.
And so once I started getting into polymer clay, the colors of the clay are so pigmented and so bold, and there's so many, and you can blend your own colors out of those colors. So I was just given this like unbelievable palette basically to work with. And the methods that I use translates really well into earrings. So I kind of make earrings because I like earrings. And then, yeah, it's been great. So the Craft Center, the Appalachian Center for Craft sells them. The Silver Fern sells them. And then the Glass Tangerine, which will be opening soon, will also be selling them.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
That's great. It's so nice, like, just being able to go into these local places and buy things from local artists and makers. Silver Fern especially has been such a godsend for so many people around here. And Glass Tangerine, I know we're all excited to see that open. I'm very, very excited just like seeing all their stuff on social media pop up as they get ready. We'll be right back on the scene with more with Abby Whedon.
That rare 45 from the 1960s?
The one you wore out on your record player.
Search for the rare at Harper's.
That classic story of intrigue and mystery.
The book you can't put down.
Get a scare.
Or romance in the air.
At Harper's.
The hub for anything and everything creative.
Harper's rare books and collectibles.
If it's rare.
If it's groovy.
If it's one of a kind.
You just might find it at Harper's.
Just down from the depot in Cookeville's historic West Side.
The kind of place that's much less store and much more about the search.
Stroll, look, sit a spell.
Hang out, soak in the unique and the rare.
But be warned.
You just may be late getting back to work.
It's new every time you walk through the doors.
Harper's rare books and collectibles. 41 West Broad Street, Cookeville.
A one-of-a-kind book, collectible records, and unique treasures.
The community's hub for all things creative.
Harper's Rare Books and Collectibles.
Harper's Rare Books and Collectibles.
Cookeville's historic West Side.
Welcome back to the scene. I'm here talking to Abby Whedon, jeweler and photographer extraordinaire. What are you working on right now?
So right now I'm working on some summer collections of earrings. It's actually been a minute since I've released anything, but I have some markets coming up. So I have actually this morning was working on them. I've got four different collections going out. So that's just right now I'm still in the clay stage, and then it cures in an oven, and then I will embed the posts in the back, and then they will be sanded and then ready to go. So I'm in the early stages of it, but hopefully by this weekend, I should have some of those earrings ready to go, ready for people to be able to take home.
Nice. So summer collection. So are we doing big, bright colors, very bold?
Yep. I've got a lot of, I love red. I love reds and oranges. So I have a set like that. I've got some with some very bold greens. And then I'm actually, one thing I'm working on right now that's currently still on my tabletop at home is I'm recreating one of my earliest slabs. The slab is what I create the patterns on, and then I cut the earrings out of them.
Okay.
So I'm actually recreating a slab that I made about 4 years ago, and I have only one remaining earring from it, and it is just so, like, distressed at this point, you know? And, like, looking at how much progress I've made as far as the detail and then the tidiness, I think the tidiness is really a big part, because looking back on that. So that's been kind of cool today, because the new slab is looking very, like, fresh and good, and I'm excited about it.
Nice. So as you're starting, like, a new collection, where do you kind of get your ideas? Where are you getting inspiration from?
So I always do a mood board. Pinterest is overflowing. My Pinterest
is everyone's best friend.
Yes, it is such a great tool. But yeah, I start with a mood board. And then there are certain things that are just kind of always appealing to me. American quilts are super appealing to me, and I do a lot of, I get a lot of inspiration from quilting. I have a lot of books on quilting, so I can, like, flip through and just see some and be like, oh, I'm really drawn to that colorway, or I like those shapes. But I really don't ever replicate anything, but just kind of, like, draw pieces from here and there.
And put your own touch on it.
Yeah. And then I also am obsessed with flowers. I know most people are, but I did work in floral design for a year or two in Nashville, and so I love it. I have a great admiration for it, and so I think that that kind of bleeds over into it as well. I use a lot of floral motifs and stuff. So, and then I'm also quite a maximalist, so things like Mexican tiles, Portuguese tiles, those styles are very appealing to me as well.
Very cool. So that's jewelry. What about photography? Anything exciting coming up? I know you're doing a shoot for creatives for headshots at Storyteller House. Tell me about that.
Yep. So on July 24th, we're doing a marathon day of creative headshots for makers, artists, doers, actors, specifically people working in the creative field. These headshots are going to get a little bit funky. They're not your traditional headshots. So I'm going to have different color backdrop options. We're going to do some lights with gels on, colored gels on them, and just going to get creative. But they're very affordable. They're $100 for five final photos, 10-minute sessions. And yeah, those are going to be at Storyteller House of the Arts.
Okay. And if people are interested in that, how do they find out more? How do they book a time?
So you can either find the link on my Facebook, which is just Abby Whedon Photography and Design, or you can go to the Storyteller for the House Or you can check out Storyteller House for the Arts Facebook or website. There's also a link available for booking there.
Sounds perfect. I might have to get some myself because I can always use new headshots or Tinder profile pictures, whichever. So that's coming up. What about any other shoots do you have planned? I'm sure you're doing, you know, standard weddings and portraits and all those things.
I'm actually photographing Silver Fern today.
Oh, so, great.
Yeah. And then I'm also going to do Glass Tangerine in a few weeks. So we haven't set a date for that one yet, but before they open. So.
Oh, that'll be nice. Yeah. Professional pictures for shops like that, I think it's always so important to have because so many times, like, you look at a Facebook page for somewhere and you're like, ooh.
Especially for launch when you're, like, opening your business. Like.
Exactly. Exactly. So looking forward to seeing all of those. We'll be right back on the scene with more with Abby Whedon. You're back on the scene, and I'm talking to Abby Whedon today. Abby, who are some of your favorite artists or makers, local or otherwise?
Yeah, so Lydia Johnson was one. She was actually my ceramic artist in residence teacher, and the work that she does with clay, she works with colored clay, but it's traditional ceramics, and it is some of the most stunning work I've ever seen. Every time she posts anything online, I'm just like staring at it. So also it's very bold and colorful. So it's very appealing to me for that
too. I was going to say, that sounds like you.
And then Nina Zabel is a polymer artist. And I try really hard not to look at polymer art because I'm trying to pull from other resources, not necessarily other artists in the same medium. But her work is so unique and so different than mine that I just can only look at it with awe and admiration and be like, how is she even doing that with this medium? But so good. And then a favorite photographer is Jimmy Marble. He's based in California. Very colorful, very bold, very beautiful.
Easy to do in California with
all that sunshine.
Yeah, exactly. So the Upper Cumberland, how long have you been here? You went to Tech. Mm-hmm. Are you from here originally?
Yeah. So I was born in Cookeville. I went to Tech and did the art program. I have a BFA in graphic design. But like I said, I did every available free hour in ceramics. That was my preferred space to be in. After I graduated, I moved to Nashville for a little bit and was doing photography full time. Then I went to DC for 1 year, and then that's when I was really leaning into polymer clay. I was involved in a small business incubator there that was really helping support me as I got going, and I taught workshops there. And then, of course, the pandemic kind of set in, stopped teaching, stopped booking so much, and the ball just kind of started rolling again, like recently, like this year. And I have workshops coming up in Nashville. And, you know, I have sessions and weddings that have started really filling in my time since I've moved back to Cookeville. I moved back to Cookeville this past fall. So
great. So you've been multiple places. Mm-hmm. How does Cookeville in this area, how does it kind of differ? Like, how does it, the community here is very wonderful and open and accepting of makers mm-hmm. and artists.
Yeah.
So do you find that in other places or is it like Cookeville a little bit special?
So I had a hard time finding myself in the creative community in Nashville. I knew a lot of musicians, which is, of course, creative, but I didn't know a lot of visual artists. But then when I was in DC, when I was involved with that small business incubator, I knew immediately 30 artists. It was amazing. I was plugged in immediately and had so much fun. And we would attend each other's workshops and buy each other's products, and it was great. And so when I moved back to Cookeville, I was dead set on getting plugged back into the creative community here because after a few years off and then being in DC like that, I was like, oh my gosh, I forget what it's like to be surrounded by artists and be around people whose brains work like mine. And so it's been, you know, the Silver Fern's been great with them opening and that giving kind of like a hub for local artists right in Cookeville. And then I was involved in the Tiny Show and my earrings are there, of course, and Brie and Brandy are great. So it's just been a wonderful place to get plugged back in. And it's been very welcoming. And the art community in Cookeville is much bigger than you think it is.
Absolutely. Like so many people and all doing so many different things mm-hmm. or similar things. But it's just everyone's spin is a little bit different, which mm-hmm. I love watching. The other thing about Cookeville is you had the small business incubator in DC. Mm-hmm. Here we have the Biz Foundry.
Right.
And they're also very supportive of artists, which is wonderful.
Yes. Yep.
So one question I always like to know, What do you hope people get out of your work, whether it's a photo shoot or jewelry?
So when it comes to photography, I want people to leave seeing the best versions of themselves. I do not want them to not recognize themselves, which can sometimes happen.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to just feel amazing, you know, and I want also the times in their lives to be documented well. And precisely so that they have those memories. And then I love doing brand development photos. So I just like, same thing. I like making brands look as good as possible. And then with my earrings, one of the great things about polymer is that it's very affordable. So I can price the earrings at a very attainable price point. And I like that I can make handmade art available to my consumer.
I love that. Having accessible art is such an important and underrated thing. Last question, where can people find you? Where can they book with you?
Yep, so you can find me at abbywheedon.com. Whedon is W-E-E-D-E-N. And you can also find me on Instagram at the same.
Perfect. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you.